Last Sunday, Juanita and I and Ed and Dee, we went to a pastor's retreat at Forest Springs near Westboro, and we were there for a couple of days, and it was a wonderful time of rest and just retreat. And thank you, church, for allowing us to go and have that time. And so as I often do after something like this, I like to bring back to you what we learned. And the speaker this year at Pastor's Retreat, his name was Jim Engel, and he is from Minnesota, and he's pastored for many, many years. And we had four sessions with him, so you're just going to really get a hint of what he shared with us. One of the biggest things that I wanted to share with you kind of right away was something that he said that really, really impacted me as far as remembering, and that was his testimony. So Jim was very much anti-God. He was an atheist, and he shared with us how he was planning in college. He was going to be a lawyer and go to law school, and he had his life pretty well planned out. He was married, and he and his wife had similar views when it came to God. They were atheists. And yet, on one particular day, Jim said that he went to meet with a lawyer at his office. I think it was to talk about career or future or law school, something of that nature. But instead of talking about law or law school, the lawyer told Jim about Jesus Christ. And he told him in a way that really ministered to Jim, because Jim wasn't afraid to get into arguments about God or about Jesus. But the way this lawyer had ministered to him and shared the gospel, Jim felt in his heart. And he gave his life to Christ at that meeting with the lawyer. And you think, and I think, okay, well, you know, we've heard some stories like this before. It's not really, you know, out of the ordinary. But then he goes on. He's kind of a funny guy. So then he said he left the office, and he sat there thinking, how am I going to tell my wife? Because she has, you know, the similar view as him, and he was very much atheist. And so on his way home, he's thinking, what is he going to say? So he gets home and tells his wife, I've got something I need to tell you. And his wife says, I've got something I need to tell you. Unbeknownst to Jim, a lady had come by the house while he was meeting with a lawyer. This lady had nothing to do with a lawyer, and she began to tell Jim's wife about Jesus. She, in that meeting, gave her life to Jesus Christ. And she, while waiting for Jim to come home, was wondering how she was going to tell her atheist husband that she gave her life to Christ. Jim said it was down to almost the same 15 minutes that they were giving their lives to Christ. Isn't that an awesome testimony? Two people, the same time. It's just amazing. And so Jim says he pretty much most places he goes, he tells that testimony because it is very much a part of God working a miracle in their lives. And Jim and his wife, they changed directions as they felt called to ministry. And Jim didn't go to law school. He went to seminary instead and eventually became a pastor to many churches over the years and is now planning to help churches in between pastors. So that's kind of what he is looking to do now. But Jim started off with talking about the human body. So I'm going to get into kind of a portion of what we learned from him. And the human body is made up of many organs. And all the organs in the body have a job, they have a purpose. And even though each organ has a specific function. All the organs actually work together. They are dependent upon each other. And when we get sick, we often go to the doctor, and what do? We look for the quick fix. We look for, okay, what pill can I take? What prescription can I take so I can get going, get on with life? That mentality often runs over into our spiritual life as well. When things aren't going well spiritually, we might ask, what's the quick fix? I can't say anyone in here has done that, but you know, I'm waiting for someone to come, and you know, after a long period of time of not being with God or not being right spiritually, they come to my office like, what can I do right now? Everything's going to be better. What's the quick fix? You see, spiritually we have many parts that work together for our spiritual health. We're told to be good stewards of our bodies, and we should, but at the same time, we know that our bodies will not last forever. Our bodies are wearing out, and our bodies will pass away. But our soul or our spirit, it lives on. So when it comes to taking care of ourselves, we have to realize that the part that lasts forever should be our priority. Spiritual growth is making the spiritual part the most important. And out of our spiritual growth, we'll be looking at three very important areas: the heart, the mind, and the will. We'll be looking at vital signs. So what are vital signs? I know a number of you in here are CPR certified, you're nurses, maybe other things. Vital signs, you would say, are signs of life. Signs to show that you're living. For our physical bodies, when we check a pulse, we're looking to see, is the heart pumping blood? We might also look for respirations. Are the lungs bringing air and oxygen into the body? But what about spiritual vital signs? Are we looking for signs of spiritual life in our lives? See, Jim talked through four different vital signs, but we're just going to look at three this morning, the three most important: the heart, the mind, and the will. The fourth one that Jim touched on was the tongue, but that'll be for another day. But let's look at the first one, the heart. When we look at Scripture, we will see that the heart is used literally and figuratively. Most often, it is figuratively as the center of religious or moral conduct. The heart is really seen as the center of a person's being. It's the control center for the mind and the will, which we'll look at in a moment. But there's a problem with the heart. There's a problem with my heart, and there's a problem with all of your hearts. The problem is we need a new heart. Without a new heart, we actually have negative vital signs. Our hearts are hardened, and without Christ, they continue to harden. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" If the heart is the center of our spiritual being and we are told it is deceitful beyond cure, what is this? It's like we have a dead heart, but don't realize it's dead because it's just there getting hardened like stone and wicked. The only hope for us is a new heart, a heart transplant. Another verse, Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. The change in heart is only something God can do. Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. When you commit your life to Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, we call this being born again. Something Jesus talked about with Nicodemus. I don't have it in my notes. But anyways, Jesus talked about being born again. And we see that when this happens, God forgives our sins. And He begins to work in our hearts through His Spirit. Romans 2:29, the second half. Circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Just a man's praise is not from men, but from God. Though we would all love to have an immediate change of heart, and for some people, the change is quick, but while for others, the change is slower. But God knows that our center of our being is figuratively the heart, and that is why we see it so much in Scripture, talking about the heart. The Holy Spirit begins making us new at the heart level, not just a show to be seen externally, but if the heart changes, our direction in life changes. So when our heart begins to change, that also means things are going to change in what we do and where we go. So what can we do for our hearts? What can we do? Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. We're to guard our hearts. Well, what is it to guard? To guard is to keep the bad out, right? Keep the bad out. But also to guard is to keep the good in. Keeping sin out and keeping God and what pleases Him in. And when we become aware of sin in our hearts, the first thing is to repent. That is to change one's heart. And we are changing from sin to God's will. And we're faced with a pandemic virus. And many of you have been upping your vitamins. Maybe you've been wearing masks. Maybe you've been using more hand sanitizer. Maybe you've started washing your hands, or maybe you're washing your hands more. These are everyday things to help physical health. What is something that we can do for our everyday health spiritually? Some of you are kind of lifting up your Bibles. Reading God's Word. It's an important daily dose that is good for what ails you. Spiritually and physically. Reading your Bible is vitally important. Call it vitamin B, vitamin Bible. I don't know. Vitamin B plus. So we looked at the heart and its vital signs, and now we're going to look at the mind. The mind is the knowledge center, the place where we think. You want to know something? The mind has issues. The heart has issues. The mind has issues too. We'll just leave it at that. It has issues. The first issue is that even though we may think we are smart, we're not. Isaiah 55:8-9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Even the smartest of all of us, they're still like galaxies away from our all-knowing God. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, that is how far removed we are from the thoughts of God. And if that isn't bad enough, we learn about another issue that we have to deal with. Genesis 6:5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all of the time. Ouch. The thoughts were evil all of the time. Here we see the interdependence, the hearts and the mind. We're seeing them connected here. And evil is mixed in there, and it's a problem. All of the time. Is that how bad our fallen minds are? If that's the case, we need help. Psalm 94:11, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. He knows that they are futile. And it keeps getting worse. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Our minds are broken, and if that wasn't bad enough, we have Satan doing his work to keep people blinded to the gospel message of Christ. So like the heart, there's work to do in the mind. And if our hearts are set to Christ, then our thoughts will move in that direction too. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Our minds often become battlegrounds, and we must nurture our minds to that of Christ. And it can be so easy to allow, let's say, our emotions and our feelings to dictate our thoughts. But you must realize that Satan can use our emotions to blind us at times. I'd like to give you an example of that. Here's an example where we can be blinded. God wants me to be happy, right? Think about that question. God wants me to be happy, right? It's kind of a loaded question, but in order to pop your bubble, I'm going to tell you that your happiness isn't God's priority. In fact, your relationship with Him is more important than any of your feelings of happiness. A true and close relationship with the Lord will bring you joy, but your circumstances in life might still be rough. I've got another example of how something that feels... Here's the question. How can something that feels so right be wrong? Now, this one I've heard a number of times. How can something that feels so right be wrong? I've heard this from professing Christ followers. If the Bible says it's sin, then it really doesn't matter what you feel or what you think. It doesn't change the fact that it's still sin. You see, our minds are broken. And there are times that we will try to make things look better because of how we feel or some of the thoughts that we're having. We know our minds are broken, so now what are we to do? Romans 8:5 through 6. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. When we turn to Jesus, we are given the Holy Spirit as a helper. Yet we must submit our minds to Him. Last week, we looked at the first Psalm, and we looked at meditating on God's Word as something that we need to do, filling our minds with His Word. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Preparing our minds for Christ and being self-controlled with the help of His Spirit. I'd like to read more out of Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is more than just thinking on these things. This is dwelling on them. This is dwelling on the things of Christ. 2 Peter 1:5-8. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot there. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures this morning. But this brings me to the final area to check for vital signs. We looked at the heart. We've looked at the mind. Now we're going to look at the will. The will is our volition center. Volition center. The will is the decisions we make, the choices that we take, the actions that we put forth. Ephesians 5:17, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We know that we had a problem with our heart. We know that we have a problem with our mind. We also have a problem with our will. The problem is that we have our own will. And the Lord has His will. The problem arises when our wills go in a different direction from that of the Lord. To be wise is to understand the Lord's will through the help of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God's ways are different from ours. So to be wise is to see life through God's point of view and ordering our life accordingly. Meaning, seeing God's point of view and changing ours to His. Again, we can struggle with our emotions and feelings here too. And I won't say that all emotions or feelings are wrong. They sometimes give us a glimpse into what's going on in us, and God gave us emotions. They are from Him. But if we allow our emotions to direct our wills, they will lead us astray at some point. Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We see the connection between the mind and the will. Though they are different, they are again interdependent. And we must offer ourselves as living sacrifices, sacrificing the things that are of the world and outside of God's will for us. Really letting go and letting God. And when we're looking at God's will, we're going to see that he has two. God has a revealed will and a specific will. The revealed will is the Bible. He's given us his revelation of himself for us to understand him more. That's his revealed will. And if you're not reading his word, please start. You're missing out on so much of who God is when you're not in his word. Then there's the specific will, and this is individualistic. This is not for everyone. God's will for me in my life is to be a pastor. At this very moment, to be the pastor of Christ Community Church. That's not the same specific will for you. Although God may have a specific will for some of you to be pastors, his specific will for you is going to be different from me. So we have two wills, the revealed will and the specific will. And so often people want that specific will without diving into God's revealed will. You have to understand the revealed will. You have to understand Scripture and his word before you can really fully understand his specific will for you. So we get back into, you need to be in God's word. And I would like to close with a couple more scriptures. Many of you know the Lord's Prayer. A phrase in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." You see, in order for God's kingdom to come and have an impact in my life, for his kingdom to come, I got to let mine go. If I want the Lord's will to be done in my life, I have to let my will go. The next verse I'd like to share is 1 Thessalonians 4:3. First part. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. I'm closing with this verse because it really gets, it's just kind of a summary verse to help us know God's will. To be sanctified, that's to be set apart from this world for Christ. To be set apart for Christ, and also to serve him. That's sanctification. That's his will for you and for me, that we would be set apart and that we would be serving him. So if you're ever wanting to know, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know it. Read his word. Be set apart from this world to serve him. That is his will that we embrace. There's so much more I could have shared that we learned from our speaker. You really just got a bare bones. But again, it's a great study, looking at three vital areas, the heart, mind, and the will.